What was the progression of thought of Preetu Maharaj's instructions that we heard yesterday? Who remembers at the very beginning? Yes, that really summarizes it. Most of it. Anyone remember anything else? Thank you. Yes. Yes. So after that first part where he said that, he made a jump from sort of an instruction to some inference, inferring that a supreme controller must exist. Otherwise, how could there be a rewarding of the results of one's activities? And clearly we see that different people, different individuals, are getting different results. So therefore there must be someone awarding them different results. And that is, that person is all powerful because his power supersedes the power of everyone, because his will supplants their own will, overcomes people's own will. It's true. So he's explaining that there is a Supreme Lord, and he's continuing that thought, that way of thinking, and we shall continue with that too. And he said, and then not only is his inference or anuman or logic there, but also he followed that with the examples of the Vedas, Shastra, and also the sadhus. The holy persons, they accept the Supreme Lord and they dedicate their lives to Him. And then text 31. What is the... So he's established, after describing that we should all perform our prescribed duties for the pleasure of the Lord, he's established the Lord's existence, and therefore... why should we, so the Supreme Lord exists, so why should we serve Him? Why should we perform our duties for His pleasure? So then text 31 explains, by the inclination, what does inclination mean? Tendency, yes. By the inclination or tendency to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is one, he's now explaining the results, what will happen if one has that tendency. Suffering humanity can immediately cleanse the dirt which has accumulated in their minds during innumerable births. What form is that dirt in the minds which we have accumulated for hundreds and thousands, innumerable births, countless. Innumerable means countless. What is the form of the dirt?
Mind.
Yeah, on a less philosophical level, what is the form of the dirt? Mataji,
is that the...
Yeah, just desires and lack of inclination. Material desires on one hand are very powerful, like a scale, weighing down this side of the scale, and then the tendency to serve the Lord, the ability to serve the Lord, is exactly the opposite of the tendency to fulfill one's material desires. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj told his glorious father, whose name was? And why is his father glorious? Because what? That's one reason. Yeah. That's what, remember when Varahadev killed his brother, Haranyakashipu's brother, Haranyaksha, Lord Brahma said, oh, what a glorious death, been killed by the Lord. So Haranyakashipu was indeed glorious. And Prahlad told him, Matirna Krishne, Paratakshvato Vamityo Vipajeta Grihavartanam. Means that inclination to Krishna, as long as one has a desire to enjoy the material world, the inclination to serve Krishna cannot develop So therefore, ceto darpana marjanam, that the consciousness, the mirror of the heart, the consciousness, the citta, has to be cleansed. Cleansed of what? Of all the material desires which make us think in terms of I and mine. So by that inclination, suffering humanity can immediately cleanse the dirt which has accumulated in their minds during innumerable births. So we've accumulated desires. How do we accumulate desires that fill our mind? Association. And how do we associate? We see something even. We associate through our eyes. Oh, I want that. We hear about something. Oh, I want that. We look at ourselves. We think, boy. And we look at someone else. He can do that. I can't do that. Oh, I wish I could do that. And in this way, or when we're old, our knee hurts, our ankle hurts. What else hurts? Excuse me, backs. We can't see anymore. Our skin is wrinkly. Our teeth are falling out or have already fallen out. Our hair is already falling out or has fallen out. We have no more strength. And we look at the young boys and girls playing, we think, oh, only if I could do that again. And guess what? If that is your desire, you'll have the opportunity to do that again and suffer through the whole thing again. So this is how material desires get planted in the heart, through seeing, through hearing, this uncountable ways, through reading, through our envy. And that's why we should really avoid things like television and movies and things like that, because they plant more material desires in our hearts. And unless we want more material desires, or unless we're ready to quickly remove them, put them in, remove them, put them in, remove them, put them in, remove them, better to keep the consciousness focused upon Krishna. Like the Ganges water which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a process. What process is he referring to? Maharaj preacher referring to? Service of the Lord. Such a process immediately cleanses the mind, and thus spiritual or Krishna consciousness gradually increases. I want to serve. It is based on desire. Inclination means desire, tendency. Even though I don't have the ability, sometimes it's so peculiar that someone who is married, he's thinking, oh, I wish I never got married. And the person who's not married is thinking, oh, I wish I got married. How peculiar, because next life, positions change. So really, unless we're thinking, oh, I wish, we have to understand that there is no situation, a Brahma Bhuvana Loka, Puna Avata, no matter whether we're married or unmarried, we're going to suffer. So, the desire which has to blossom in the heart is not, oh, I wish I had this, and I wish I had that, or I wish I could run again, or I wish I had more hair on my head, or I wish I had less hair on my head, wish I had more teeth, less teeth, I wish I could dance, I wish I could sing. Oh, look how this one sings and plays, and I can't do that. Oh, I can't learn Sanskrit, and this one can do it. Instead of all adding more and more and more layers. I wish I could drink only milk, like that Brahmin, pure Brahmin we heard of yesterday. Just one desire. I wish I could serve Krishna with great love and devotion. I wish I could serve the Vaishnavas. Let that desire really overwhelm our consciousness when we hear about about Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, the great devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, how their mood in desiring to serve Krishna, it was so intense. Not this, and they're chanting, when Mahaprabhu would chant, like a river of tears would flow from his eyes, calling out, when he would call out, Krishna, 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 and everyone would be astounded to see this. He would dance and then just fall to the ground with such force that the earth would tremble. And still his body wouldn't be hurt. And here I am, Hare Krishna, Krishna, wondering why I'm not, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Wondering why it's not working. The process, why doesn't this process work? The problem is that something doesn't work, and it's my consciousness and my understanding what the price is. Tatra loyam api mulam ekalam. It has to be very intense. Love of Krishna is very intense. We hear about the love for Krishna that Mother Yasoda had, Nanda Maharaj had, the gopas, the gopis. They were completely focused. Completely focused. Not bahushaka twanantascha. What does bahushaka twanantascha mean? Many branch. What's the opposite of bahushaka? Huh? And what's the first line? Vyavya satmika buddhi, like a laser. So what do we want? Well, we're not going to go around the room, okay? But what do we want? And how much do we want it? And if we don't want it, are we ready to lament that we really don't have much of an inclination to serve Krishna? Are we ready to lament about it? Well, if we are not, if we hear the glorious words of the great devotees and what they experience through true love for Krishna, perhaps a spark of lamentation will also ignite within our hearts, which would be a very good thing. But here we are, oh yeah. Life goes on, we just think it's going to go on day by day by day by day by day. We don't think we're getting older. We don't think it's ever going to end. So there is a falsity in that, and a truth in that, of course, as well. So here, we're associating with these great personages, Srila Prabhupada, Preetamaraj, to hear their advice, their instructions, not as an intellectual or academic exercise, but to take it through here and into here and see what we can actually apply. See if any of this applies to us. So this process immediately cleanses the mind and the spiritual or Krishna consciousness gradually increases. Because the cleansing of the mind, the cleansing of the heart in and of itself is insufficient. One has to have a positive taste, not a removal only of the coverings. When a devotee, so he's talking about the result. There is a Supreme Lord, we should serve him. What is the result? There's a cleansing of the heart. When a devotee, 32, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the result. He is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. Remember what he said previously, though. Something else takes place, a different kind of desire. He's renounced from the material. But on the spiritual level, he's wishing for millions of ears so he could hear the sweet glories of the Lord spoken by the pure devotee. This is possible. This true detachment is possible only when one is strengthened. The true cleansing of the heart, which results in a true detachment, comes by param drishta nivartite. What's the beginning of the verse? Yes, vishava nivartante nirarasyadena rasovajam rasyopasya. Higher taste. When Nityananda Prabhu was going from, when Mahaprabhu ordered him to go from Jagannath Puri to preach in Bengal, he went with some of his associates, and the description of their journey is incredible. They were just dancing, they were exhibiting ecstasies, and then every once in a while they would say, oh yeah, we were supposed to go to the Ganges. They'd ask someone, which way is the Ganges River again? You went 20 miles too far. It's back that way 20 miles. And they would go dancing and chanting in ecstasy, and then after some time, Ganges? Oh, yes. Which way is it? Oh, you went 20 miles too far that way. They forgot about their eating, their sleeping, their bodies. They were just enwrapped in ecstasy. So once having taken shelter of the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of the threefold misery. So this is one of the first preachings that has to be done. And we ourselves have to become convinced that this world is essentially miserable. Just imagine, for example, we have unlimited parts of our body, and we're so attached to the body. Just think of any part of the body and think of how much pleasure it is possible to get from that part of the body. How much pleasure can I get from my thumb, or my pinky, or my elbow? But just imagine how much misery and pain I can get from that part. And immediately we can understand that the body is simply really ultimately meant for pain. And here we are trying to squeeze the gram of pleasure out of a kilogram, out of the countless kilograms of misery. It is a difficult task we've placed in front of ourselves indeed. As Prabhupada explains in his purport, due to our material association since time immemorial, we have accumulated heaps of dirty things in our mind. And the result, we identify with the body and entrapped by it. Prithu Maharaj advised his citizens, therefore, coming to this conclusion that there is a Lord and we should serve Him, that inclination is that which is to be cultivated within our life. Therefore, engage your minds, your words, your bodies, minds, words, bodies, and the results of your occupational duties. Four things. And always being open-minded, you should all render devotional service to the Lord. Here is a very wonderful process. According to your abilities and the occupations in which you are situated, you should engage your service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pankajam. What does Pankajam mean? The lotus, meaning the lotus feet. With full confidence. Who also says to serve with confidence? Srila Rupa Goswami, yes. And without reservation. What does without reservation mean? Without holding back anything. Don't keep anything in reserve. Like it is said that there was very fierce warriors who used to live in the Vikings. Where did they live? Huh? Sweden, Norway, like that. And they would, when they were going to attack a country, England or something like that, they would burn their boats and then attack. The boats that they came on, they would burn and then they would attack. Now, why did they do that? There was only one route for them. Either they would fight to the death, and they would fight fiercely too. In other words, they would hold nothing back in reserve. Anyway, if we're losing, we could always get on the boats. So this is what it takes. Then you will surely be successful in achieving the final objective of your life. So whatever your occupation is, whatever your situation is, you, according to your abilities, and wherever you are situated, engage your mind, your words, your bodies, and the results of your work. So this is karma yoga, basically. Very wonderful. Sort of towards the end of Prabhupada's purport, he says, anyone... What does anyone mean? It's a simple pronoun. What does anyone mean? Who? Yes, anyone means everyone. That includes me also. Yes? I also can become successful in devotional service provided he displays no duplicity. What does duplicity mean? Dishonesty, what does it mean? What else?
Complicated mind,
that's an aspect, yeah. Yeah, hypocrisy, duplicity. Oh, my dear friend, or Prabhu, come. In Loi Bazaar, Prabhu. He's saying, Prabhu, come. You want limca? And what is he thinking? Huh? Yes. How many taka I can take from him? No, not any more taka. Thinking dollars. How many dollars I can get? That's duplicity. But we know that they're thinking that, so it doesn't bother us. But when a devotee comes to Krishna, we should come anyabhilasita sanyam jnana karma anavrita anukulena krishna anushilanam. That is called bhakti. To be in a lowest, it is explained here that one must be very frank again means honest and open minded. Amayina, what, any other does anyone have a Sanskrit dictionary handy? What is this Amayina? Any other translations of that? What does it say in the word by words? Without reservation, not holding back, open-minded, mean giving oneself fully. To be situated in a lower state of life is not a disqualification for success in devotional service. It doesn't make a difference what one is situation is one is in externally. The only qualification is that whether one is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, he must be open, frank, and free from reservations, no holding back. Then, by performing his particular occupational duty under the guidance of a proper spiritual master, he can attain the highest success in life. So, serving Krishna. Serve Krishna without any reservation, without any holding back. Did you find any? Another meaning?
It says, without illusion of deceit, void of trick or guile.
Guile. Guile means trickery, cunning, chalu. My dear Krishna, please, I will do anything. But then warning only, it's not good. Or even wanting to please Krishna, Bhagavad Dharma, that's what we are. That's what Maharaj Prithu is saying. So who is this Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental and not contaminated by this material world. But although he's concentrated spirit soul without material variety, for the benefit of the conditioned souls, he nevertheless accepts different types of sacrifice performed with various material elements, rituals, and mantras, and offered to the demigods under different names according to the interests and purposes of the performers. He doesn't have any interest in the sacrifices on one level, but for the benefit of the living entities, he gives them a way by which they can perform devotional service by being sakam, even though they have material desires, by performing sacrifices in which he is the actual beneficiary. Lord Hari is the actual beneficiary, even though they will get some material benefits according to the karmakanda ritualistic activities in the Vedas. Still they will be performing some devotional service, because ultimately he is pleased and ultimately it is his system. So there is some devotional service in there. So he so kindly accepts that devotional service, even though it is covered perhaps with material desires. So that is his mercy. That shows something about his affection for the living entities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading. More of his qualities. He's merciful, he's transcendental, he's non-contaminated. He's not accepting the results of sacrifice because he is in need of anything. He is all-pervading. But he is also manifest in different types of bodies which arise from a combination of material nature, time, desires, and occupational duties. Thus, different types of consciousness develop. Very interesting example. So even though he's all-pervading, he's in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, and by the mercy of the Supersoul, different consciousnesses develop within living entities, just as fire, which is always basically the same, blazes in different ways according to the shape and dimension of the firewood. So the Lord is the same, the soul is the same, but the consciousness of the individual is differently manifested according to the body and also how much the Supersoul allows the consciousness to be manifest. Because the body limits the consciousness generally, but can you think of a case where the body didn't limit the consciousness? I can think of three. Right? Can you think of one?
Gajendra.
He was an animal and a great devotee, manifested devotion, and the Lord came. Bharat Maharaj, when he was a deer, he remembered everything. Narada Muni. Yeah, unlimited consciousness. I was thinking of Vritrasura too. He was cursed to be in the body of a demon, and although he was fighting with Indra, his consciousness was exalted, so exalted. Yes.
Jatayu.
Yes. Vulture. Vulture. Yes. Yes. So now he's beginning to conclude this section. So he's explaining. What has he explained so far? And quickly?
Without any reservation.
According to their prescribed duties. Whatever you are, whatever occupational varna you are in, whatever ashram you're in, perform your duties according appropriate to that, and serve the Lord with devotion. And this, he had said, was his own realization. And then he concludes this section by saying in 36, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master and enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. So remember, he has come very much to reinstitute the performance of sacrifices. And he is the supreme spiritual master as well. All of you on the surface of the globe who have a relationship with me and are worshipping him by dint of your occupational duties are bestowing your mercy upon me. Therefore, O my citizens, I thank you. Now he wants to give some more instructions in the next section to the end. Because as Prabhupada would explain in the beginning of his purport, or in the purport to the next text, 37, there is one main thing. We can be very determined to perform devotional service to the Lord very sincerely, but there is one thing, even more than material desires, that gets in the way of that service, and that is aparadha. So this next section is Preetu Maharaj's attempt to influence his citizens to avoid Vaishnava aparadha, because that ruins devotional service. The Brahmins and Vaishnavas are personally glorified by their characteristic powers of tolerance, penance, knowledge, and education. By dint of all these spiritual assets, Vaishnavas are more powerful than royalty. It is therefore advised that the princely order not exhibit its material prowess before these two communities and should avoid offending them. Now, how does he know about this? His father did that and they killed him. His power was very insignificant compared to their power, because their power is based, everyone's power is ultimately based on the spiritual. But they were extremely powerful. Now, here's Prabhupada's purport. We'll read because it's so important. We'll read quite a lot of Prabhupada's purport. Preetu Maharaj has explained in the previous verse the importance of devotional service for both the rulers and citizens of the state. Now he explains how one can be steadily fixed in devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, has compared the devotional service of the Lord with a... what is the Sanskrit, Bengali? Lata, bhakti lata. A creeper has a feeble stem. In other words, a tree is very powerful when it grows, but a creeper, it's not, it doesn't have the stem that it has, or doesn't support itself. A creeper has a feeble stem and requires the support of another tree to grow. And while growing, it requires sufficient protection so that it may not be lost. While describing the system of protection for the creeper of devotional service, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has especially stressed protection from offenses unto the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Such offenses are called Vaishnava aparad. Aparad means offense. If one commits Vaishnava aparad, all of his progress in devotional service will be checked. Even though one is very much advanced in devotional service, if he commits offenses at the feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement is all spoiled. And therefore, Prabhupada instituted in the morning program every day that the devotees should offer their respects to all the Vaishnavas. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindhubhyascha patitanam pabhanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Because the difficulty of living in the community of Vaishnavas is that tendency to criticize and offend. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that devotees like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, they would not hear the faults of another Vaishnava, of a Vaishnava, even if they were true. In the Shastra, it is found that a very great yogi, Devasa Muni, committed a Vaishnava aparad. Which Shastras is it found? Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, and others. And which great Vaishnava he offended? Ambarish Maharaj. He committed Vaishnava aparad, and thus for one full year had to travel all over the universe, even to Vaikuntha, to defend himself from the offense. At last, even when he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vaikuntha, he was refused protection. Therefore, one should be very careful about committing offenses at the feet of a Vaishnava. The most grievous type of Vaishnava aparad is called Guru aparad, which refers to offenses at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. and the chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this Guru Aparad is considered the most grievous offense. Guru Avagya Shuti Shastra Nindanam. Among the 10 offenses committed against the chanting of the holy name, the first offenses are disobedience of the spiritual master and blasphemy of the Vedic literatures. The simple definition of a Vaishnava is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a person who immediately reminds one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is a Vaishnava. And then towards the end of the purport, Prithu Maharaj warns his citizens who are actually engaged in the devotional service of the Lord to take care against offenses to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Offenses at their lotus feet are so destructive that even the descendants of Yadu who were born in the family of Lord Krishna were destroyed due to offenses at their feet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot tolerate any offense at the lotus feet of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Sometimes, due to their powerful position, princes or government servants neglect the position of Brahmins and Vaishnavas, not knowing that because of their offenses they will be ruined. So very grave warning by Srila Prabhupada, and one that you should take to heart. So this whole section up to text 44 is really on this one point. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ancient eternal Godhead, who is foremost amongst all great personalities, obtained the opulence of his staunch reputation, which purifies the entire universe by worshipping the lotus feet of those Brahmins and Vaishnavas. What did Prithu Maharaj say? Everyone hear that? Yes? Next verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everlastingly independent and who exists in everyone's heart, is very pleased with those who follow in his footsteps and engage without reservation in the service of the descendants of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. For he is always dear to Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and they are always dear to him. I wanted to read some points on this, but I want to get up to one more point and then we'll read. By regular service to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, one can clear the dirt from his heart and thus enjoy supreme peace and liberation from material attachment and be satisfied. So who also makes this point? Mihi yisham parajo bishekam niskin sananam navaniti avad yadvad. Prahlad Maharaj, and also Jad Bharat, or what is the, do you know the Sanskrit? Bina Mahatpada Raja Vishekam. You have to bathe, one has to bathe one's. No one has become a devotee without bathing himself in the dust of the lotus feet of Niskinchana Vaishnav. Pure soul. So very, very strong. By regular service to the Vaishnavas and Brahmins, one can clear the dirt from his heart and thus enjoy supreme peace and liberation from material attachment. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that three things are especially powerful. Vaishnava Padaduli, Vaishnava Padajal. And the third one? Mahaprasad, as Prabhupada says. In this world, there is no fruit of activity superior to serving the Brahmin class, for this can bring pleasure to the demigods for whom the many sacrifices I remember. Prabhupada says in his purport, quoting Narottama Das Thakur, Tandera charana sevi bhakta sane vas janame janame hoye abhilas. Birth after birth, I desire to serve the lotus feet of the acharyas and live in a society of devotees. A spiritual atmosphere can be maintained only by living in a society of devotees and by serving the orders of the acharyas. Yes? Just from the purport to 40. 41. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta, eats through the fire sacrifice offered in the names of the different demigods, he does not take as much pleasure in eating through fire as he does in accepting offerings through the mouths of learned sages and devotees. For then he does not leave the association of devotees. Now I wanted to read something. Now there were two verses. This one, which says that the way that the Lord is getting pleasure is eating through the more pleasure through eating through the mouths of the devotees when they are fed than through the when ghee is offered to the fire. So that was one verse. And there's another one about the one we read before. What number is it? That 38. I attain my reputation by serving the Vaishnavas. Now these two points may sound familiar to you. And if they do, it's because... Yes, exactly. When the Lord, in the incredible pastime, after Jayan Vijay were cursed, when he was apologizing on behalf of Jayan Vijay to the devotees, to the four Kumaras, and he was on one level apologizing to them, on another level criticizing them, he said, I do not enjoy... He said, this is text 7, chapter 16, canto 3. Because I am the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin. And I have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me, even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor. Text 8. I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrifices in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmins who have dedicated to me the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, and the water of the Ganges is the remnant left over after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds, along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas on my head, who will refuse to do the same? Strong. So this isn't the only place where this point is made about the Supreme Personality of Godhead's love for the Vaishnavas. I will read you something else in a moment, which is I wouldn't say more strong, because how could you be more strong than that? But Krishna himself will speak something, but I'll just finish this section. But please keep the purpose of this section fixed in your mind, and then I shall read something really wonderful. Not that this isn't wonderful, but that's also really wonderful. And why does he say, what in text 41, why does Prithviraj say that he likes to eat the offerings of food given to his devotees more than through the fire? Because in that way, he doesn't leave their association. In Brahminical culture, a Brahmin's transcendental position is eternally maintained because the injunctions of the Vedas are accepted with faith, austerity, scriptural conclusions, full sense, and mind control and meditation. In this way, the real goal of life is illuminated, just as one's face is fully reflected in a clear mirror. This is the character of a Brahmana, and it has very much to do with his faith in Shastra, because that fixes his consciousness on the absolute truth. all respectable personalities present here, I beg the blessings of all of you that I may perpetually carry on my crown the dust of the lotus feet of such Brahmins and Vaishnavas until the end of my life. He who can carry such dust on his head is very soon relieved of all the reactions which arise from sinful life, and eventually he develops all good and desirable qualities. Whoever acquires the brahminical qualifications, whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful, and who takes shelter of experienced persons, gets all the opulence of the world. Note those qualities, the brahminical qualifications. One, his wealth is his good behavior. Two, who is grateful. Three, who takes shelter of experienced persons. These are the brahminical qualifications mentioned here. Very powerful, very glorious, very attractive, very pure, wonderful, truly brahminical. And the result are all opulences will come to him. I therefore wish that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates be pleased with the Brahmin class, with the cows, and with me. I must say that Prabhupada, I'm not reading his purports, but they are very important. There's a reason why I'm not reading the purports, because I wish to finish the next section. But they are very, very wonderful, and please read them very carefully. A few points that Prabhupada made. One is that one really must acquire the brahminical qualifications, as mentioned here. It is not just by birth, but also it is not just by wearing a thread either. One must become qualified. And here are the qualifications mentioned by Prithu Maharaj. What were they, without looking? Who remembers one? I remember one. Yes, Mataji. Yes, that is the one I remembered. Remembered, but hard to practice for me. Another one. Yes. Taking shelter of experienced person. That means humble. What a relief to take shelter of wise, experienced persons. Yes, third one. Excuse me? These were the excellent behaviors. Wasn't there a third? His wealth is his good behavior. What does that mean, his wealth is his good behavior? What does wealth mean? Okay, opulence, assets. When do we think of our character, our integrity, our kindness, our simplicity as our wealth? And indeed, if one has this wealth of good behavior, then other material opulence will automatically come. Why? Why will other forms of wealth automatically come? Yes? Pleased, and there's one word that I'm thinking of. Why, will you say if you have some money and you want to give it to someone, you want to give it in charity, what do you want? You want to put it in someone's hand. You want to put it in the hand of someone that you trust. And do you trust one who has a wealth of good behavior? That's what causes someone, that makes someone trustworthy. One time, by the way, Prabhupada was asked, how will your disciples be recognized? And his reply was, perfect gentlemen and gentle ladies, obviously. Gentlemen, gently, honest, truthful, etc. Clean, pure, who is Sarubhushanam. Text 44. Please read these purports. Huh? Excuse me? Okay. Please be pleased. Look how gentle Pritam Raj is. What a powerful king. And he's speaking so gently, asking all these respectable citizens to bless him and be pleased with him. The great sage Maitreya said, after hearing King Prithu speak so nicely, all the demigods, the citizens of Pitraloka, the Brahmins, and the saintly persons present at the meeting congratulated him by expressing their goodwill. When people say, please bless me, I think mostly people want goodwill. Wish the best for you. Maybe people also want magic, I don't know. Yes, I guess that's what people really want, some magic that will turn day to night, all my bad qualities will go away, and then suddenly I'll become all that I'm not. But at least we can give goodwill towards everyone. And all the citizens, due to their affection to Pritam Raj, very much due to his good qualities, they had all goodwill for him. They expressed their goodwill. How? By saying sadhu, sadhu. I mean, very good, very good. What you have said is wonderful. Sadhu vadena sarava. All the saintly persons present, they made the sound. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good, very good. They expressed their goodwill in that way. Now, before we conclude this chapter, which will describe what these personalities spoke in reply to Pritam Raj, I wanted to read one more section from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, the 14th chapter, where Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is speaking to whom? Uddhava. And he's going to describe something, just as we heard the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan, here speak to the four Kumaras something of his own nature and how dear the Vaishnavas and Brahmins are to him. Now here Krishna is going to speak very wonderful truths. This is beginning on text 9, chapter 14. We'll begin in text 8. Due to the great varieties of desires and natures amongst human beings, and it's true, isn't it? There are many different theistic philosophies of life which are handed down through tradition, customs, and disciplic successions. There are other teachers who directly support atheistic viewpoints. O best among men, who is the best amongst men? He's speaking to Uddhava. The intelligence of human beings is bewildered by my illusory potency. And thus, according to their own activities and whims, they speak in innumerable ways about what is actually good for people. Some say that people will be happy by performing pious religious activities. Others say that happiness is attained through fame, sense gratification, truthfulness, self-control, peace, self-interest, political influence, opulence, renunciation, consumption. What does consumption mean? Because there's a disease called consumption, but that's not what... Yes, I will consume so many objects for my sense gratification. This is what contemporary so-called civilization is based on, consuming the consumers. We're no longer people, we are consumers. But But Krishna says everyone has a different concept for happiness. Sacrifice, penance, charity vows, regulated duties, or strict disciplinary regulations. Each process has its proponents. All the persons I have just mentioned obtain temporary fruits from their material work. Indeed, the meager and miserable situations they achieve bring future unhappiness and are based on ignorance. Even when enjoying the fruits of their work, such persons are filled with lamentation. O learned Uddhav, those who fix their consciousness on me, now he's giving his opinion, Krishna is giving his opinion, all the other opinions, it's what is the actual good for mankind, is influenced by Krishna's illusory energy, but here is Krishna's pure, free opinion. Those who fix their consciousness on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. One who does not desire anything within this world, who has achieved peace by controlling his senses, whose consciousness is equal in all conditions, and whose mind is completely satisfied in me, finds only happiness wherever he goes. One who has fixed his consciousness on me, desires neither the position or abode of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, nor an empire on the earth, nor sovereignty in the lower planetary systems, nor the eightfold perfections of yoga, nor liberation from birth or death. Such a person desires me alone. My dear Uddhav, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Shankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self are as dear to me as you. Is a famous verse, by the way. And the next one is also famous and worth, excuse me? 15 and 16. It is worth applying one's full attention to this verse. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees, who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. So Krishna is saying that he himself follows in the footsteps of his devotees. Those who are without any desire for personal gratification, whose minds are always attached to me, who are peaceful, without false ego, and merciful to all living entities, and whose consciousness is never affected by opportunities for sense gratification, such persons enjoy in me a happiness that cannot be known or achieved by those lacking such detachment from the material world. My dear Uddhav, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires, but because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. My dear Uddhav, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic studies, austerity or renunciation. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my pure devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. neither religious activities endowed with honesty and mercy, nor knowledge obtained with great penance can completely purify one's consciousness if they are bereft of loving service to me. If one's hairs do not stand on end, how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? A devotee whose speech is sometimes choked up, whose heart melts, who cries continually and sometimes laughs, who feels ashamed and cries out loudly, and then dances, a devotee thus fixed in loving service to me purifies the entire universe. Just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure, brilliant state, similarly, the spirit soul, absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga, is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruitive activities and returns to its original position of serving me in the spiritual world. When a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanses himself of material contamination, how? By hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle spiritual form. The mind of one meditating upon the objects of sense gratification is certainly entangled in such objects, but if one constantly remembers me, then the mind is absorbed in me. Therefore, one should reject all material processes of elevation, which are like the mental creations of a dream, and should completely absorb one's mind in me. By constantly thinking of me, one becomes purified. Being conscious of the eternal self, one should give up association with women and those intimately connected with women. Sitting fearlessly in a solitary place, one should concentrate the mind on me with great attention. 29. So it went from 8 to 29. 11th canto, chapter 14. These are Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. Because Uddhava said, how can I... Uddhava realized that Krishna was leaving this world, and he thought, how can I stay behind without you, O Lord? Please take me with you. I don't want to stay here without you. But Krishna wanted him to stay. So he gave him instructions that he could stay without him, but be with him continuously. And here is the essence of the instructions, or one of the essences. So Prithu Maharaj, what is he teaching? He's teaching how he instructed his citizens, you do your prescribed duties. This was his duty as the king. And by placing the instructions that the Lord gave him through his own realization, he told all the citizens, do your duties, but do them in devotion as offerings to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Remembering him, you'll be purified. So here are what the citizens, how they responded. First they said, sadhu, sadhu. After hearing his words, here's what they said. They all declared that the Vedic conclusion that one can conquer the heavenly planets by the action of a putra or son was fulfilled. For the most sinful Vena, who had been killed by the curse of the Brahmanas, was now delivered from the darkest region of hellish life by his son, Maharaj Prithu. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu, who by dint of his sinful activities always defied the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered into the darkest region of hellish life, but by the grace of his great son, Prahlad Maharaj, he was also delivered and went back home, back to Godhead. All the saintly brahmanas thus addressed Prithu Maharaj, O best of all of the warriors, O father of this globe, may you be blessed with a long life, for you have great devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all the universe. The audience continued, My dear Prithu, King Prithu, your reputation is the purest of all, for you are preaching the glories of the most glorified of all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Brahmins. Since due to our great fortune we have you as our master, we think that we are living directly under the agency of the Lord. So this verse describes the greatest compliment to a ruler, a king, who is called Naradev, because the citizens see him as properly, perfectly representing God. So he is perfectly fulfilling his obligation. And how? Because he's acting on the principles according to his Vanashrama duties as king, and he's instructing and leading the citizens, his followers, preaching to them just according to the instructions of the Lord. So therefore he's representing the Lord. He's following the Lord's directions himself, and simultaneously he's instructing not only by his example but by his words. And the two together make one represent the Lord very powerfully. So the citizens all recognized him like that. Our dear Lord, they continue, it is your occupational duty to rule over your citizens. So he had spoken in terms of everyone doing their occupational duty, and they are recognizing that he is performing his occupational duty by ruling. That is not a very wonderful task for a personality like you, who is so affectionate in seeing to the interests of the citizens, because you are full of mercy. That is the greatness of your character. What a wonderful verse. It is natural for you to rule over your citizens. Rule over your citizens doesn't mean exploit the citizens, but rule over the citizens means to organize them, instruct them for their protection and welfare. And this was perfectly natural for them, for the king, Prithu Maharaj, because he was affectionate to them. And the citizens were confident of that affection. This is the greatness of your character. The citizens continued, Today you have opened our eyes and revealed how to cross to the other side of the ocean of darkness. By our past deeds and by the arrangement of superior authority, we are entangled in a network of fruitive activities and have lost sight of the destination of life. Thus we have been wandering within the universe. And now we know how to get out. We are in a situation, everyone is in a particular situation according to his karma and according to the arrangement of superior authority. And how to get out? Not by trying to use that situation to exploit it for any type of enjoyment or anything superficial or anything temporary, but to use that situation by one's mind, body, words, and the fruits of one's reaction. Was there any other in that one verse? All for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever we have, whatever our occupation is, whatever our situation is, just use it in Krishna's service, with devotion, without duplicity, without reservation, with open-heartedness for Krishna's pleasure. And then, naturally, one himself gets pleasure. And then the final text in this chapter. Dear Lord, you are situated in your pure existential position of goodness. Therefore, you are the perfect representative of the Supreme Lord. You are glorified by your own prowess, and thus you are maintaining the entire world by introducing Brahminical culture and protecting everyone in your line of duty as a Kshatriya. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport, just beginning in this, perhaps in the second sentence, or maybe it's even the first. The word vivriddha sattvaya is significant. In the material world, there are three qualities, namely goodness, passion, and yes, ignorance, yes. One has to be raised from the platform of ignorance to the platform of goodness by devotional service. There is no other means for elevating one from the lowest stage of life to the highest stage but the execution of devotional service as advised in the previous chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. One can raise himself from the lowest position to the highest simply by associating with devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly from their mouths. Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punyasravana Kirtana Vidyantistoya Bhadrani Vidunoti Saritsatam. When one engages in devotional service in the first stages of hearing and chanting, the Lord who is in everyone's heart helps the devotee in cleansing his heart. In the gradual cleansing process, one is relieved of the influence of passion and ignorance and is situated on the platform of goodness. The result of association with the qualities of passion and ignorance is that one becomes lusty and greedy. But when one is elevated to the platform of goodness, he is satisfied in any condition of life and without lust and greed. This mentality indicates one's situation on the platform of goodness. One has to transcend this goodness and raise himself to the pure goodness called Vivriddha Sattva, or the advanced stage of goodness. In the advanced stage of goodness, one can become Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada concludes this chapter by saying, thus the citizens of Maharaj Prithu were protected in all respects by the perfect king. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prithu Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now, two things, and then if there's a moment left. First, that we have some Giriraj Gaurnitai Mahaprasadam to distribute. Second, and Vraja Bihari Prabhu, we will get it from the hands of Vraja Bihari Prabhu himself, so we are fortunate. You have to hold on to it now. And second thing is, what I did today, I did something unaccording to the schedule, against the schedule, and the second part where the citizens were replying, which was really meant for Monday, we did today. So therefore, there doesn't have to be a class on Monday because I understood some of the devotees won't be here. And also it's somewhat awkward having 2 days off, then one day on, then 2 days off. So the next class we shall have on Thursday. So Thursday and Friday, and we'll be on schedule. And you have all been very patiently listening to long, 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 long classes with very attentive, open-hearted hearing. And I thank you very much for that. Yes.
We need a double session for questions.
Oh, okay. Kal. Okay, we have 2 minutes for questions. But first, yeah. Yes.
There was in text 33,
yes.
Sri Maharaj clearly says to the citizen that they should, according to their abilities and occupation in which they are situated, they should engage themselves in those activities. So here it's in this verse, Sri Maharaj clearly says it's according to Bhagavad Gita. They are engaged
Yes.
Then throughout the text, especially Ramana Kulas.
Family.
Yeah. That's not, so it's a Vaishnava. So it, to me it seems there's a progression, like in the Varna Ashram to a higher status of serving the Guru, but then for his full satisfaction, the other consideration of what, of one's occupational, or one's inclination. Because in, according to Varna Ashram, you have, one has a certain contributional.
But remember the context that he's speaking here. First of all, Prithu Maharaj is speaking a very, very, very long time ago when the Vanashrama system was intact and Brahmins were Brahmins and Kshatriyas were Kshatriyas and Vaishyas were Vaishyas and Sudras were Sudras, and the lineages were very strong. So nowadays, it's not like that. And in this context especially, the Brahmins aren't actually possessed of the qualities of Brahmins. The qualities of Brahmins are Vaishnava qualities, ultimately. So Prabhupada is bringing out the point that just because someone is born in a Brahmin family, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually Brahmins. It's a point that this isn't the first time he's made that point. A very strong point that he's made at other times. So that's why Prabhupada has to adjust the words of Prithu Maharaj and explain in this way. Now what was the other part of your question?
It still seems that the service to a spiritual master is without consideration of one's particular inclination. It's full surrender, like you do the needful.
But you do the needful, but do you think the spiritual master, except in emergency, doesn't consider the inclinations of the disciple?
But that's a question.
Your mood is everything, surrender. And then the spiritual master's mood, and Prabhupada said this many times, one of the expertise is engaging a disciple properly according to his nature and inclination.
So that should not be a concern of the disciple then. I'm properly engaged or not, it's just as faith that the guru...
But sometimes in emergencies it can happen like that. Yeah, the spiritual master should be thinking like that, and the disciple should be thinking, everyone should be doing his own duty. Disciple's duty is to surrender. Spiritual master's duty is to engage disciple for in such a way that he advances.
Which would be according to his nature or against his nature.
What do you think?
I think it's according to his nature. Last moment.
Last moment. But sometimes it's a bit of a complicated question because this is, you know, we're getting into educational theory. What's the best way to train a disciple? Sometimes there's an emergency, like in a war, and it doesn't make a difference what your inclination is. You have to fight for survival. Another situation is when you're just beginning in your devotional service, and your basic training, so to speak. So you may, when someone is a new devotee and young, they're more pliable and flexible. When someone's old already, they don't have much latitude in the variance of what they can do. So there's an art and a science to training. So if you say everyone must be engaged only according to their nature, if we take everything rigidly and you're not engaging me according to my nature, you know, then everything gets ruined It's a Brahminical science, really, and it's inspired by Krishna too. And so there's subtleties involved, and sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it's on the side.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you raise your hand before you had a question?
I think it's either the end of the text, the modern text, or the two problems says that Lord Chaitanya says that the spiritual master takes on the karma.
When I looked for that reference, I couldn't find anything that Lord Chaitanya said, but Prabhupada in another place says that Jiva Goswami says it. And I think I know where Jiva Goswami says it. Because I'm not aware of any place where Mahaprabhu specifically says it. But Jiva Goswami appears to... And
in his commentary in Bhakti Samhita Nectar Devotion, when the steps of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is described, I think the 13th or 14th is one is allowed to make disciples at this point. And if you look in the Nectar Devotion, there's a reference which is very much parallel to what Prabhupada says there, where he says, for the preaching we make, we have, Jiva Goswami cautions not to make many disciples, but for the preaching sometimes we have to do this. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's there. I didn't have a book to check, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's there. And in the reference that I found where Prabhupada said Jiva Goswami does this, says it. It was a little indirect, but it's clear, at least one way, how the disciple, how the spiritual master has to take the karma of the disciple. Very, very clear is that, and why, if he's not very advanced, he can become overwhelmed by that. It's because you have disciples, and they're always, you're thinking about them. How is this one doing? How is this one doing? And if there are so many materialistic problems that everyone's having, you have to carry those. You have to think about them. It's like when your son has 6 boils today, so you have to think about it. So if you have 2,000 sons and they all have different varieties of boils and diseases and they're always complaining to you about them, then you can easily become overwhelmed by all the materialistic conditioned situation the disciples in, and that's their karma. So that's one very simple and clear way. Now Prabhupada's also mentioned other ways too in other places, but that's one that's very clear and obvious and not very esoteric even. Yes. Naturally.
So how do you do this? Because
how do you be clean is a favorable quality. That's a simple one and an obvious one. How do you be clean? Well, we know the answer to that. We bathe so many times a day. We wear clean cloth all the time. Although it seems obvious, in the non-devotee world, it's not so obvious. Yes, but none of those are sufficient. They are necessary, but not sufficient. You can't gain me by drinking only milk, Mahaprabhu said. It's devotion. He also said in that section that one has to raise himself to the quality of goodness, or maybe it was in the section we read. And devotional service. It was the last verse that we read, is the process of doing that. Because one can't transcend goodness from ignorance. One has to come up. Except in the case when Nityananda Prabhu decides to save you like he did with Jagai and Madai, then whatever position you're in, you're out. Necessary. But the main one is the surrender one. We don't get so involved in the external things which are assistance to the main one that they somehow get in the way of the main point. And the main point is Saranagati. This is the essence of devotion and bhakti. And yasyasta bhakti or bhagavata kinchana savaskudatta savaste sura, that naturally, if one is practicing bhakti properly, naturally the goodness should come out. One has an abhorrence to the other qualities gradually and naturally. It should happen naturally. Plus we should put some effort into it. Yes, I want to be clean. I want to do it properly. I want to tell the truth. I want to be religious. I want to know Shastra. I want to put some energy into it. But the essence is still bhakti. And if someone doesn't possess those qualities but has bhakti and is surrendered, we have to offer them all respects. Otherwise it's aparad. But I've seen places where Prabhupada says that there's no meaning to be a devotee unless one develops the 26 qualities. He's also said that too. They should be developed and there should be some attempt. But our attempt is insufficient, either because Srinvatam Svagatar Vidyantastho Yabhadrani Vidyanoti Sarasitam, Krishna will also cleanse the heart. But we have, why will he do it unless we also, like the boy with the weightlifting, he makes a little attempt and the father does the work. You're making this as a point additional to what I say.
Yes. Isn't
that also? Well, it would seem logical that if one is acting as a representative of Krishna, he's only acting as a representative, so he's passing it on, like the bank teller. But if someone acting in that position tries to take something for himself, problems will come. And secondarily, Prabhupada has also stated that sometimes Krishna will give one a token, one doing that service, a token reactions. And therefore, perhaps on one side to remind him, be careful, don't just accumulate disciples, and on the other side to remind the disciples that, oh, that if I do bad things, it may cause my spiritual master suffering. So I should be very good, like Prithu Maharaj is begging his citizens in a similar way.
So for the sake of instructing, I can make sure that
okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.